Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Today, we're going to take a quick break from our deep dives. We've got two left only, which is crazy. Well, we've got the John Williams deep dive. We've got the Micah Robinson deep dive. I'll also do a deep dive on the UDFAs in probably one episode, not probably 10 separate ones, but we'll get to those as well. We're going to take a little bit of break through the first half of this week and kind of catch back up with those later in the week. Today, we're going to be going over what I'm labeling a 53-man roster prediction, and I will go through my predictions, but I more want to take a look at the state of the roster position by position now that we are through free agency, at least the majority of it. Maybe there's a value signing here or there, you know, left that Green Bay could do. And also obviously now past the draft, undrafted free agency, let's look at what this roster looks like, how it's shaping up. And then more importantly, I guess, I don't know if it's more importantly, but what this roster could look like when you get to September and what the 53 could actually look like as we look at it right now. So we'll get into all of that today. Before we get there, a couple quick things. William Belmar, Thrawny, and David Dornberg, thank you so much for signing up to be Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. Also, we just finished up rookie minicamp, of course. One pretty nondescript practice. But if you're wondering when the next Packers practice that we're going to have the opportunity to report on, it's at the end of May. So we've got a few weeks left here. May 27th, 28th, and 30th is that first week of OTAs. Usually, based on history, the media and whatever you want to consider me will be there for one of those 3 days. They usually open it up to credentialed media members for 1 day of those three. Maybe it's changed this year. Maybe it's all three. Maybe it's none. But my guess would be we'll get access to one of those days. And of course, we'll break it down for you in great detail when we get there. But if you're wondering when the next set of practices is, it's the 27th, 28th, and 30th of May. And like I said, we'll get likely 1 day where we actually get to cover that. I mentioned, you know, later this week, we're going to get back into our deep dives, Micah Robinson, John Williams, UDFAs. Tomorrow, we'll likely go through some of the biggest questions that are still lurking out there for this roster or this team right now. And then I believe Wednesday is going to be Justice. And then at the end of the week, after we get through our deep dives, we'll also try to do a deep dive of Isaiah Simmons as well. So just kind of give you an idea of what's coming up this week and kind of the order of operations here. Of course, things could change in a moment's notice if we get Jair news, if they sign somebody different, who the heck knows. But as of now, that's kind of the plan for this week. Last but not least, Ross Uglum is doing a great series where he is interviewing basically beat writers or beat reporters for the teams that these top college players or top draft picks came from. So the one today on Monday, later on Monday, is going to be the University of Texas. So of course, Baron Sorrell and of course, Matthew Golden as well. He talked with one of the Texas beat reporters and is, you know, kind of going through and asking all the questions just so we can kind of get a better feel for what they did in college, what type of people they were, all those sort of things. So we've got that series coming up for you this week as well, and you're definitely going to want to make sure to check that out. Without further ado, however, let's get into our roster breakdown, state of the roster, but also a 53-man roster prediction. We'll start, as one often does, at quarterback. And probably the easiest position to digest, to look at, to predict, et cetera, which of course means it'll go in a million different directions. But right now, as I'm recording this, there's been no update if they're trying to sign Taylor Algersma or anything like that. But as of right now, Jordan Love is your top quarterback, surprise, surprise, Malik Willis, and then Sean Clifford. Those are your three. And this feels very straightforward. Jordan's going to be your starter. Malik's going to be your backup. And Sean Clifford will probably have to battle it out with somebody else, whether that's Taylor Algersma or who knows at this point, but probably somebody else in order to see who's that number three quarterback on the practice squad. Now, if Algersma comes in and they love him or they find some other quarterback that they love, you could probably find three quarterbacks. I think the least likely scenario is that Clifford shows enough to become the number three on the active roster. Not impossible, but not likely. They already cut him last year. If he showed major signs of growth, then maybe. But you're probably looking at, again, just two quarterbacks, Love and Willis. and then either Clifford or a quarterback to be named later as the practice squad quarterback. Right now, Clifford, the leader in the clubhouse, because he's the only one in the clubhouse. But it's going to probably be some competition. We just don't know exactly who as of yet. As far as like the state of the roster, like what you're looking at, again, the prediction here is Jordan Love and Malik Willis on the active. But this is a, you know, you feel really great about the quarterback room going into the season. Clearly, a lot of this is dependent upon Jordan Love and how he performs in 2025. I've gone out of my way on multiple times to say, I think this is the, like the bar setter for Jordan Love. Like we're probably, I still think there's a wide range of outcomes for Jordan. I think the ceiling is still top five quarterback in this league. I think the floor is probably 20th-ish quarterback in this league. It's somewhere in that range. And this season to me is going to define and just give us a much larger clarity of where within that that is. Is it closer to 20 or is it closer to the top five? Or is it one of those? I think that's going to be the real question. And I think we're going to really get an indicator this year, assuming he stays healthy, of what Jordan Love is probably now in the foreseeable future. We're not, you know, you're not going through the you know, stages of figuring out who Jordan is anymore. Like this is kind of the year where I think everything's going to be basically kind of molded and set in stone a little bit more. He's had 3 years to sit on the bench. He's had 2 years as a starter, one his first year, last year, a little bit beat up and injured, or a lot of bit beat up and injured. And then this year, assuming he stays healthy, I think we're going to really get the definition of who Jordan Love is. I think we're really going to have clarity on that. So again, where he, you know, ends up in that top five to 20th range, that's going to go a long way in defining where Green Bay is at as a franchise moving forward. And that's why it's such a huge season for him and a huge season for the team. But going into this season, you feel good. You got your starter. You got one of the best backups in football. I wish there was probably a little bit more of a developmental guy to at least compete with Sean Clifford as somebody you can maybe bring on the practice squad and hope to be ready as the backup next year, assuming Willis leaves. All things considered, at the QB position, I think you have to feel pretty good about where things are at right now. That brings us to running back. You've got Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, Amar Johnson, and Jalen White. Those last two, Amar Johnson and Jalen White, UDFAs. To me, this comes down to, well, let's just say the obvious. Josh Jacobs is going to be on the team. Marshawn Lloyd's going to be on the team. I don't think Amar Johnson or Jalen White, again, we're just getting to know these players. Who knows? I don't want to limit them and say they can't make it, but they're going to have some heavy lifting to do to get ahead of Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks, or just have some injury luck, I guess, for their side of things. And maybe just, you know, have one of those spots open up. But I think the real question here is going to be, do they keep four running backs? If they keep three, you have a pretty significant battle between Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. That's really fun, you know, to kind of think about. Do you want, to me, who's just the better pure runner, the better guy with the ball in his hands, which is Emmanuel Wilson? Or do you want the guy that can do everything well, but maybe isn't quite as talented with the ball in his hands? And that's Chris Brooks. He can catch the ball well. He can pass protect. He can run. Like, he can do all those things. It's just, if you're asking what any of them does the best, to me, it would be Emmanuel Wilson as an actual runner. I think Wilson's got better as a pass protector. He's gotten better catching the ball in the backfield, but Brooks is definitely better at those two things. And Wilson's the better runner. So which direction do you want to go in? I think there is a very strong chance that Chris Brooks makes this team. Just his value as a blocker is, you know, very conducive to him making this roster. Again, catching the ball to the backfield, like it just feels like every depth chart at running back needs a Chris Brooks. Nothing that's super sexy, nothing that's going to be like, oh my God, look at what he can do, but just super functional. And I think he makes it. I do think Green Bay keeps four running backs. I'm in my prediction here going with Jacobs, Lloyd, Wilson, and Brooks. But this is going to be, do they keep three or four? And if they keep three, is it Wilson or Brooks in all likelihood? But I'm going with four. We know Marshawn's going to make it. Really excited about Marshawn Lloyd in year two. Just needs to stay healthy. But if you can get a healthy Josh Jacobs with a healthy Marshawn Lloyd as your 1-2 punch, and then again, Chris Brooks as your kind of pass protector, do everything back, and Emmanuel Wilson as a sort of like Josh Jacobs insurance, where if Jacobs goes down, you don't really want Lloyd carrying like a full, you know, 18 to 20 runs per game. And you don't want Brooks carrying a ton either. Again, he's kind of that do everything guy. So Wilson gives you a little bit of Jacobs insurance, where if you need to feed somebody, you know, 18 to 20 times per game, Wilson can give you that. So that's why I think they keep all four. And maybe the biggest reason is I just think all four of them are worthy of being 53-man players. So I'm going all four, Jacobs, Lloyd, Wilson, and Brooks, and then Amar Johnson and Jalen White probably fight it out for a practice squad spot. Wide receiver is a bit more complicated. There's an ease of it, but then there's one piece that's very complicated. Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, Bo Melton, Julian Hicks, Tulu Griffin, Cornelius Johnson are all on the roster. And then Christian Watson is as well, but we know he's going to start the season on the physically unable to perform list. So put Watson to the side for now. I think we can kind of put Cornelius Johnson, Tulu Griffin, and Julian Hicks mostly to the side. Maybe one of them performs well enough to kind of get in that conversation for the sixth wide receiver spot. If it was, I'd probably say Julian Hicks, but I'm going to kind of just say they're probably fighting for practice squad spots, especially with the depth of this wide receiver room where it is at right now. Five guys, I think, locks to make the team. Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, and Dontavian Wicks. If Doubs is unhappy or there's any sort of issue there, you could maybe see a trade. If Wicks has a terrible camp, he could maybe earn himself into a situation where he's a little bit more on the bubble, but I think it would have to be a terrible, terrible camp. And I'm just hoping that that doesn't happen. But in all likelihood, what you're looking at here is Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, and Bo Melton fighting it out for that number six wide receiver spot. The other thing I'll add to this, and I talk about this all the time when we talk 53-man roster, is sometimes when you're a team and you have, let's just say in this case, Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, and Bo Melton, okay? You've got three of those guys. You might get to the end of cutdowns and say, we like Malik Heath. We like Mecole Hardman. We like Bo Melton. We like all three of those guys. And we don't really have a way to differentiate between which one we like more. They each bring something a little bit different. What you could have happen, and what you could do in that situation, is say, actually, we're going to release all three of them. Instead of just keeping one of them and deciding which one you want to keep, release all three. And the reason that I say that is your odds of at least getting one of them back on the practice squad are extremely high. Maybe Hardman goes and signs somewhere else. You know, it's a possibility, especially if he has a good camp. I doubt Malik Heath or Bo Melton are getting claimed. Maybe one of them does, but in all likelihood, by all avenues you could possibly project or predict, one of those guys is probably at minimum going to get back in the practice squad, and maybe even two of them, maybe three if you wanted it. So I would feel pretty good in the fact that if you release all three, probably either Melton or Heath, and probably Heath for sure, gets back in the practice squad. Or maybe one of those other guys, like Hicks, Griffin, Cornelius Johnson, is in that, ends up in that same conversation of like, hey, if we keep Julian Hicks as our sixth, we wouldn't, like, that'd be fine. We like him and we think he'd be a good number six. Again, you cut him too, you're almost guaranteed to get him back on the practice squad. So maybe you end up with Heath and Julian Hicks back in the practice squad and you feel great. You can, you now you only have five on your active. You have two guys that you can call up anytime that you need it and you feel good about it. Sometimes when you have so many players in that same realm of like, who do we want to decide between? Just release them all and get probably one or two of them back in the practice squad and you're good to go. And even in the rare situation, right? Like in some crazy case where Melton and Hardman and Heath all get claimed, like you're probably not losing sleep over it. You can probably find another one of those guys off of some other team's practice squad. Or again, maybe a Julian Hicks or a Tulu Griffin or a Cornelius Johnson steps up. I don't think you're too upset about it. So that's what I would probably say is the opportunity. But I'm going to say that six do make the team. I'm going to say that it's Doubs, Golden, Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, and I'm going to for now go with Mecole Hardman. The punt return ability is what I'm looking at here. We don't know if they want to continue with Nixon on return units, and they didn't really use him as a punt returner. It's time to stop using Jaden Reed as a punt returner. That needs to be done with. Maybe Golden could do it. I don't think Savion's going to be a punt return option. I think he'll be a kick return option. And I don't know if you want to put Golden back there, although they did put Reed back there for the last couple seasons. But the one that just kind of makes the most sense and is actually a good punt returner is Hardman. And in this case, with Hardman, you get a little bit of a gadget guy that can do a variety of different things. You can play him outside at wide receiver. You can play him in the slot. You can use him as a punt returner. He can be a backup kick returner for you. I think there's enough value there for Hardman. So I'm going to go with Hardman, but it could be easily, and I mean easily, Malik Heath or Bo Melton, or it could be all three of them released and you just try to get as many as you can back on the practice squad. Those are your options, but I'm going six. Dobbs, Golden, Reed, Williams, Wicks, and Hardman. Tight end, you've got Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Ben Sims, John Fitzpatrick, Messiah Swinson, and Johnny Lumpkin. With that group, I believe you're only going to keep three. Two of them obvious, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and then I think that third spot just comes down to Ben Sims or John Fitzpatrick. Maybe Swinson can get in that conversation. If you remember, Swinson was waived at cutdown time last year, was claimed by, I believe it was the Panthers, got his three games there. Remember, if you claim somebody off of, actually, I take that back. He was waived. They put him on the practice squad. Then Carolina signed him off the practice squad, which if you do that, you basically have to keep them for 3 weeks. He served his 3 weeks. Then they cut him and he went back to Green Bay on their practice squad again. They clearly didn't really like what they saw, but maybe he can get in that conversation. I don't think so, because I think they're going to want a little bit more of a blocker, and I don't see Swinson in that sort of role. If you remember at the end of last year, Sims had basically been that number three tight end for the last couple seasons. And by the end of last year, John Fitzpatrick took that spot and Sims was inactive in that final week. So I'm going to just lean towards Fitzpatrick at this time. They also gave him a little bit of a signing bonus. They didn't need to do that if they just liked Sims and wanted to go in that direction. So I think this one feels fairly clear in Kraft, Musgrave, and Fitzpatrick. I would love if Sims could just kind of step his game up. I still think there's something there, but he had the opportunity last year and really didn't kind of step into that. So I'm hoping this is the year, but for now, I'm going Kraft, Musgrave, and Fitzpatrick. As we look at these weapons groups, it feels a lot different than it did a couple weeks ago. Hey friends, Andy Herman here. Now that the draft is over, there's plenty of time to focus in on the basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, and of course, the heart of the baseball regular season. And you know what else it means? It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick on more or less to get your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. Right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Aaron Judge is going to hit another home run this week? Or how about Juan Soto with more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Christian Yelich to finally get hot for Milwaukee, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on options for Aaron Judge as well because he is out of his mind right now. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. At running back, it's the same, but you feel like you have really good depth. You have your star at the front of it in Josh Jacobs, a really fun lottery ticket in Marshawn Lloyd, which I'm really excited about. A good runner in Emmanuel Wilson, a do-it-all guy in Chris Brooks. Feels like that room is really where you want it to be. Tight end, you got your key tight end in Tucker Kraft. Your receiving tight end, Luke Musgrave, you want to see a step there. I think with the addition of Fitzpatrick, it feels like you may have your blocking tight end now. That feels pretty good. Again, we'll see what Musgrave can do this year and if Fitzpatrick can be that number three or if Sims can be that number three. But I feel really good overall about Tucker Kraft and for the most part in that state of the tight end room. And then wide receiver with the additions of Golden and Savion Williams just gives you a little bit more speed, a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more playmaking ability. And I think that feels better. Do you have your A number one guy? Well, time will tell. But I think the additions of those two to give you Dobbs, Golden, Reed, Williams, and Wicks as your top five until Watson comes back and then you figure that out, I think you feel really good about that room as well. So overall, the weapons groups feels good at the moment. I think you feel like you can put together a very successful offense with all the weapons, with Jordan at quarterback. And I don't have any major concerns of any of those groups at the moment. So I think that's a really good thing and a really good place to be in. Offensive line. Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, Kadeem Telfort, Donovan Jennings, Tyler Cooper, Trey Hill, Brant Banks, and JJ Lippe. You've got 15 offensive linemen on this roster. I am going with 10 here. And I think this makes good sense, but you know they could go 9. I don't think they'll go 11. Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, and Anthony Belton are their 7 locks at the moment. Don't see anything happening there barring injury that would affect any of those. Those 7 are going to make the team. You've got good depth. You feel like you're have 7 guys that can go in and play for you. I think that has to be very, you know, just reassuring for Matt LaFleur. Then you have 3 other spots. And at the moment, depending on what these, you know, UDFAs bring to the table, at the moment, it feels like there's probably 3 spots for 4 players. Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, Kadeem Telfort, and then I would say Donovan Jennings maybe in that conversation as well. We'll see what Tyler Cooper, Trey Hill, Brant Banks, and JJ Lippi can bring to the conversation. But right now, I would say there's three spots for four players. And for me, with Jacob Monk being a fifth-round pick just a year ago, my guess is they're going to want to give him a little bit more time and keep him on the team. And then we saw what Green Bay did this offseason. They went out and got big guys along that offensive line. Their two additions, Aaron Banks and Anthony Belton, are the two biggest players on the team. Stackhouse is probably in that conversation now too. But prior to UDFAs, those two were the two biggest players on the team. And I would say, like with Kadeem Telford and Travis Glover, it seems like that's more the direction that they want to go in. I think they get another chance, just one more season to kind of go out and prove themselves. So I think they keep 10. Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, Tom, Morgan, Belton, Glover, Monk, and Telford. And I think overall, you feel pretty good about the depth of this unit. You've got seven potential starters, some guys that might rotate in and out, depending on how Anthony Belton and Jordan Morgan look this offseason. I still think you have a couple of interesting pieces in Jacob Monk and Travis Glover that you drafted a year ago. And Kadeem Telford continued to get better over the last couple seasons, although we saw when needed against Philly, Telford and Travis Glover definitely struggled, and Monk was inactive a bunch by the end of the year. So you're hoping for some sort of step from Glover, Monk, and or Telford. And if not, maybe a Donovan Jennings or one of these UDFAs can get in the conversation a little bit more. But for right now, I'm going with 10 and that group of players, including Glover, Monk, and Telford as the three after the seven that you feel more comfortable with. So on offense, just to recap, Jordan Love and Malik Willis at quarterback, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks at running back. Wide receiver, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, and Mecole Hardman. Tight end, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and John Fitzpatrick. And offensive line, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, and Kadeem Telford. There's your 25 players on offense. It doesn't always have to be 25 on offense, 25 on defense, three on special teams, but in this case, it worked out pretty well that way. Defensive line, you've got Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson, Nazir Stackhouse, James Esther, Nesta Jade Silvera, and Keith Randolph. This is another interesting one. I'm going to go with five players here, and it's maybe a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to go with Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, and Nazir Stackhouse. I want to be very clear. I have not watched much of Stackhouse, and what I have, I didn't love, but I'm not going to make any judgment off of that because it's been such little amount of tape that I've watched. The reason I think he could make it here is because it's a little bit of a thin group. You're probably talking about Colby Wooden versus Stackhouse as kind of that final battle. And to me, Wooden's had a couple years and hasn't really done much with it. He's a three technique and he's not going to give you any sort of nose tackle versatility, right? He can't kick out to end. He kind of has one spot that he can play. And here's the thing. Kenny Clark can play three technique. Devontae Wyatt can play three technique. Carl Brooks can play three technique. Warren Brinson can play three technique. And quite frankly, all four of those guys, I think, can do it better than Colby Wooden. You might not even have the ability to kick in some guys inside to play it, like maybe a Baron Sorrell could do it. You know, maybe there's a couple different guys. Maybe Brenton Cox could do it. Maybe LVN could do it. But I feel like you have guys that can give you what Colby Wooden gives you, but they have more versatility. Meanwhile, you don't have as much in that pure run stuffer category. Kenny Clark can definitely do some of that. I do believe that Brinson will be able to do some of that, but Stackhouse gives you just a totally different option. A 330-pound, big-time defensive tackle. I mean, big. I'm not saying big-time as in like upper echelon, but a big, weighty, hefty defensive tackle. And I don't think they have that exact sort of piece. And I think it gives them something a little bit different. And I think there's a little bit more value there rather than another three technique in Colby Wooden when you have so many guys that can play that spot already. So I'm going to go with five: Clark, Wyatt, Brooks, Brinson, and Stackhouse. My biggest concern here is if something happens to Kenny, and then can Brinson and Stackhouse kind of play that spot well enough that it's okay? Or is there going to be a major issue at that point? It's just another reason too, where I think Stackhouse makes more sense. Whereas if Kenny goes down and you don't have Stackhouse, now it's just Brinson. You have nobody else that can play there. That's a lot to put on his plate. So that's why I'm going with the five that I went with. Again, Clark, Wyatt, Brooks, Brinson, and Stackhouse. Edge rusher, going with five players here as well, but let me give you the full breakdown of where they're at. Rashawn Gary, LVN, Baron Sorrell, Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Colin Oliver, Aaron Mosby, Deslon Alexander, and Jeremiah Martin. Could easily keep six here. That's not out of the question at all. But I went with five, and this one also might be a little bit surprising. I'm going with Rashawn Gary, LVN, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver, meaning Kingsley Enagbare does not make the team. Here's the big thing. Did you know, some of you probably do, that Kingsley Enagbare, by releasing him, you save $3.4 million. He got that incentive, that rookie incentive, or that, sorry, the fourth year, you know, prior to free agency incentive, that if you played so many snaps in your first 3 years, you get a bump in pay in year four. He got that. He's set to make $3.4 million. I've gone, you know, and said it on numerous occasions. I thought Enagbare was one of the more disappointing players in 2024. I did not think he played well. I did not think he really rushed the passer well. I did not think he set up against the run well. I just thought it was very meh and did not add anything of significance to the team other than being a rotational player. Now, they started him a decent amount. They seem to like him. So maybe this is a bit out there. Maybe this is crazy, but he's in year four. He's had 3 years to prove himself. Now he's set to make $3.4 million. And to me, if the decision is, hey, we've got five guys that we like, and you know, we feel okay about bringing, you know, keeping Enagbare on as the sixth, okay, great. But is that worth 3.4 mil? And I'm going to say that they decide it's not. And maybe they can find a trade for him. It would not stun me or surprise me if they could get a sixth or seventh round pick in return. That easily could be the case, which even better. Like, it even makes more sense that potentially he's not on the roster. But I'm going to go with five: Rashawn Gary, LVN, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver. Assuming they want to keep Oliver and Sorrell as rookies, LVN and Gary's not going anywhere. If you keep six, then it's probably just Cox and Enagbare. Maybe Mosby can get in the conversation. But if not, you have five guys, or sorry, for that fifth spot, you have Brenton Cox and or Kingsley Enagbare. Those are your two. And it comes down to a battle between those. And if you look at it with where both of them are at from a contractual standpoint, Brenton Cox is on a minimal deal, whereas Enagbare is at, you know, saving $3.4 million. In addition, Enagbare has no years of team control left. He will be an unrestricted free agent next offseason. Brenton Cox will at least be a restricted free agent next offseason. So you have a little bit of team control there with Cox as well. If he would go out and have a huge year, you can sign him to a pretty cheap deal next year. And I just think, you know, even at the end of the year, I just think Brenton Cox is playing better football than Kingsley Enagbare, which is also important. So I'm going to go with five. Again, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver. As far as this defensive line goes, I think there's still question marks here. Again, the depth for Kenny, that's a question mark. And then just, is there enough pass rush? Clearly putting a lot of faith in, you know, new defensive line coach, DeMarcus Covington. That's going to be somebody that is going to have a massive offseason and getting the most out of these players. They do add Colin Oliver, Baron Sorrell, Nazir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson. We'll see what those guys can bring. If they can bring some juice, energy, intensity, physicality, hopefully some pass rush, some run defending. They're different types, but they have talent. Now, but this is ultimately probably going to be up to Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, and LVN as your top four. And just how good can those four be at getting to the quarterback, stopping the run, and being your four designated guys in sort of key situations? Linebacker: Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch, and Jamon Johnson. We've only got seven. And I'm going to say that five make the teamer. All right. You've got Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, and Isaiah Simmons. This is an interesting one because I do think all seven of these players could make the team. We know Quay is going to. We know Cooper is going to. We basically know McDuffie is going to based on the contract. Hopper was a third round pick a season ago. Don't think he's going anywhere. And then it just becomes, how many do they keep? And probably a battle between Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch, and Jamon Johnson for one and or two spots. Not sure if it ends up being five or six. I think they'd like to keep six, but I think the number math is going to keep it hard to keep six. So I'm going to say they keep five. And in this case, I'm going to just say that Isaiah Simmons beats out Christian Welch and Jamon Johnson based off of special teams value. I think that's going to be the difference maker. I think number one, he's just going to be the better special teams player. But number two, I think he brings more versatility to the defense as well. I feel much better about this group than I did in years past. I think we saw a little bit of a step from Quay this past year. Cooper looks phenomenal. McDuffie's worthy enough of being that number three linebacker. I'm interested to see what Tyron Hopper can do in year two. And I think Isaiah Simmons brings a very unique player to that number five linebacker spot with great special teams value. And I, again, Christian Welch, Jamin Johnson have the right to make this team as well. So it's only seven. It's the few, the proud, but I like this group and I'm interested to see how they stack this up. If they keep six, if they keep five, and if they do keep five, who gets that probably in all probability, the final roster spot between Simmons, Welch, and Jamin Johnson. That brings us to corner. Jaire Alexander for now, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Kalen King, Micah Robinson, Kamal Haddon, Isaiah Dunn, Jonathan Baldwin, and Tyron Herring. I'm going to start by saying this. The point of this exercise is not to have another Jaire Alexander conversation. If you want to put him on this list, put him on this list. If you want to take him off of this list, take him off of this list. Your guess is as good as mine. We're in complete no man's land with Jaire Alexander right now. And whether he ends up on the team or not, we'll see. As of right now, as of recording this, he's still on the team. I'm still taking the sort of play that I'll believe it when I see it. If you want to put him on here, this is not the point of this exercise. So put him on there by all means. Don't let me stop you. But for now, I'm going with five corners: Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Micah Robinson, and Kamal Haddon. Those are the five. This is the biggest question mark of all question marks with this roster at the moment. Is Jaire on the team? If he's not, do you go shopping? If you don't, how does this corner room stack out? Now, we know Javon Bullard can play in the slot as well, so you can kind of pseudo put him in this room also. But Nixon's going to be a starter for you. Hobbs is going to play a bunch. Right now, Valentine's probably set to play a bunch unless Jaire comes back or unless you go shopping elsewhere. But then it's the depth that's a lot of questions. Micah Robinson's a seventh-round pick. Kamal Haddon was a sixth-round pick a season ago that wasn't your sixth-round pick. You end up picking him up. They actually activated him on numerous occasions before they activated Kalen King, which is noteworthy. I just think that whole situation is interesting. Can Kalen King make the roster? Is there anyone else? You know, they did go out and, you know, sign a pretty interesting player here in Jonathan Baldwin. And I'm sorry, I don't know if I did the whole list, but after those, you know, that group of players, you also have Kalen King, Isaiah Dunn, Jonathan Baldwin, and Tyron Herring are the other corners. So you've got players here that could come in and compete. Baldwin was, again, the guy they gave the most undrafted guaranteed money to. So he'll be an interesting name. I think he's going to end up being just a slot guy though. But overall, by far and away, the most interesting group to keep an eye on the rest of this offseason. Just from who's in camp, do they add anybody? And then if not, how those final spots play out? Because that is a real mystery of can anyone step in and really be a number four, number five, number six corner in that group. But for now, I'm going Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Micah Robinson, and Kamal Haddon as the five. Definite possibilities that Kalen King, Jonathan Baldwin could get their names in those conversations as well. But I'm going to go with those five. We'll see what happens with Jaire, and we'll just see what this happens in this room. The biggest question mark, and I'll put it this way. For me, I'm probably higher on this room than a lot of people out there without Jaire Alexander. I think they're going to be a cornerback room that you can win with. Okay. I think you can win with Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, and whatever, plus Javon Bullard. I think you can win with that group. Here's the two issues that I have. One, I would like a group that you could win because of, not with. That like, yeah, we can get by with it. It's great that you can get by with it. I would love a group that you could win with. If you do have Jaire Alexander and he's actually healthy, I do feel like that is closer to a room that you can win with or because of, right? Sorry, a room that you can win because of, not just with. The other thing I will say is in big games, that group that you can win with was a little bit more exposed. And against teams like Philly and Detroit and Minnesota, it did feel like they struggled a little bit more. Now, those are good offenses. It's going to happen. But I would like it a little bit more if you had somebody that could go against the DJ Moores of the world, the Justin Jeffersons, Jordan Addisons, Amon-Ra St. Browns, and have a little bit better of a, you know, puncher's chance against those guys. Maybe not shut them down, but slow them down at least. So this is, to me, the one that's hardest to predict, that's hardest to understand where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and what it could look like come the start of the regular season. But for now, I'm going Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Robinson, and Kamal Haddon. Last but not least, you've got safety. The total room as a whole right now is Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Kitano Ladapo, Zane Anderson, Omar Brown, and Kazeer Bugs Brown. I really like this group, and I mean really like this group. I think they're six deep at least. And McKinney, of course, is a stud. Williams is a starter. Bullard's going to play a bunch. I think Oladapo and Zane Anderson can both start in a pinch. And I really like Omar Brown as a special teams depth piece. And then Kazir Brown is that big hulked up former corner that they're labeling at a safety for the moment. I really like this group. I'm going to go with five. It's tough, you know, I think for Omar Brown to probably crack that group, but I'm going to go Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, and Zane Anderson. Pretty chalk there, but I think a group that makes all the sense in the world, gives you everything you need, all different flavors of safety. Again, I think all five of those guys can start and you feel pretty good about it. Like that's how crazy that group is. So easily the group that I feel best about of any position group on this team, and one that I think has a ton of upside to even play better than what they did from a season ago. And they were really good a season ago. The interesting piece here on the defense, five edges, five linebackers, five corners, five safeties, five defensive linemen. Feel like, you know, Tim Robinson and 55 burgers, 55 fries. You get my point. If you've seen, you know, what is the show called? I Think You Should Leave is of course the name of the show. But yeah, if you've seen that, you know what I'm talking about, or you've seen the meme. But yeah, five edges, five defensive linemen, five linebackers, five corners, and five safeties, evening out that defense pretty well, but a lot of versatility, a lot of unique pieces. And I think those pieces all fit together pretty well. Again, the corner is the real interesting one. Kicker, you've got McManus and Hale. McManus will make it. Whalen will be the punter. Orzik will be the long snapper. Hale will be the international pathway program guy for now. They could change that out at some point, but I kind of like the idea of having an extra kicker slash specialist just in case something would happen at the last moment. Got a guy that you can call up if need be. Overall, what you end up with, what this team looks like on this 53 right now, my prediction right now, Jordan Love and Malik Willis at quarterback. Four running backs, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks. Six wide receivers, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, and Mecole Hardman. Three tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and John Fitzpatrick. 10 offensive linemen, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, and Kadeem Telfort. Five defensive linemen, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, and Nazir Stackhouse. Five edge rushers, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Baron Sorrell, Bretton Cox, and Colin Oliver. Five linebackers, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, and Isaiah Simmons. Five corners, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Micah Robinson, and Kamal Haddon, with also Javon Bullard able to play down in that position as well. And then five safeties, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, and Zane Anderson. Kicker Brandon McManus, punter Daniel Whalen, long snapper Matt Orzik, and injured reserve to start the season, Christian Watson. That is your 53 plus one man roster, that one again being Christian Watson on IR. I feel good about this overall depth chart, how this looks on paper. Couple questions. Who's that number six wide receiver? Is John Fitzpatrick the number three tight end? Who do you keep on kind of the back end of the offensive line? Do you have a depth piece for Kenny Clark? What a Brinson and Stackhouse and those guys look like? Can you find a better pass rush? What's the issue or the deal at corner? Are you going to go with Jair? Is Jair not going to be there? Do you have enough pieces? I think that's the single biggest question. Overall, feel really good about the talent, the depth, the upside. Now it's just putting the pieces together, maybe figuring out cornerback a little bit more, and then kind of going from there. But I feel very good about where this roster stands today on May 5th. And hopefully, as we continue on, they make the right decisions, maybe make a couple tweaks here or there, and are ready to go come the start of the regular season and be one of these top teams competing all throughout the course of the year. On paper, looks good. Game's not played on paper. They're going to have to go out and earn it. And whether or not a lot of these young players can take a pretty big step in 2025, that's going to be the ultimate defining moment for this team. Guys like Jordan Love, Marshawn Lloyd, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams, Luke Musgrave is a big one, I think. Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Rashid Walker to an extent, Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, Nazir Stackhouse, Baron Sorrell, Bretton Cox, Colin Oliver, LVN, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Tyron Hopper, Carrington Valentine, Micah Robinson, Kamal Haddon, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, Zane Anderson. There's a ton of young players, just a ton of young talent where their ceilings are high, their floors are lower, and where they kind of come in that range is going to define this team. This team needs a few more stars, needs a few more playmakers. Some of these guys really need to take that step into becoming big time players for this team. There's a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of options for those guys and opportunity for those guys to become big time players. Let's see who steps up to it. That's going to be the definer. This team cannot win a Super Bowl with those guys that I mentioned playing as they were, playing as rookies. You're going to need a few of those guys to step up in a major way. Can they do it? That's what remains to be seen. Is there urgency, like Brian Gutekunst called for? That's what remains to be seen. But they've got a really talented team with really good depth. I like the roster, and I am already ready for the regular season. But we got a long way to go. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate you. You find me on the Packaday Radio Show Monday through Friday on the Fan 8 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, 12:50 a.m. and 105.7 FM The Fan. Of course, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.